Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Monday, October the 25th, 2021, 13 and a half minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time. Now, I'm going to do the Geraldo Journal very quick here because I've got lots to talk about here this morning. And there's a little bit of an update this morning in the Geraldo Journal. Let's see here. October 25th is now where we are. October 25th, 2021, we do have to put did not hear from Geraldo, but had email exchange with station manager that I think went well, and I'm going to put that in here. Went well. So a little bit of movement here on the front when it comes to Geraldo being on this show. Did not hear from Geraldo, had email exchange with station manager, and I should put that that's substation WTAM, and it went well. So we'll see where all of that goes as time goes on, as they say. That's today's entry in the Geraldo Journal. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Joe Nuxall. I hope you enjoyed hour number one today. And again, the book is Joe Nuxall, The Old Left-Hander and Me, My Conversations with Joe Nuxall About the Reds, Baseball, and Broadcasting by John Kieswetter. I think must be how the name is pronounced. I think I said Kieswetter. It's one of those, let's put it that way. But the book is really good. I am a huge Joe Nuxall fan. I enjoyed when he broadcasted the games for WLW, Cincinnati Reds games. And I do have a Joe Nuxall story to tell. And I'll do this very quickly because I think I've told it on the air before, but it seems like the right time to tell it. Well, let me tell two. Let me tell you the first time I met Joe Nuxall. The first time I met Joe Nuxall, I was in Cincinnati. It was probably 2002, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they were honoring the same night. Now, this was a night to honor. They were honoring Joe Nuxall at this big charity event in a big ballroom hotel in Cleveland. I forget the hotel, but they were honoring Joe Nuxall and Betty White same night. So both Joe and Betty are at this event, and I was there to interview Betty White. So I walked over and talked with Betty. I think maybe this was 2003, a matter of fact, maybe early 2003. So I went over and met Betty and had a nice exchange with her, and everything was good there. And then I kind of went to the back of the room because Betty was meeting with some people who wanted to meet her at the charity event, and she was being very gracious. So I went to the back of the room, and I was there with somebody from the station, and I thought, well, you know, we'll just hang back here. And all of a sudden, this guy comes up and says, can you show me where the John is? And I said, well, it's just right down this hall here. It was Joe Nuxall, the guy who had just been honored. He needed to go to the bathroom. And that was my first introduction to Joe Nuxall, which I thought was strange at the time. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. But it kind of leads to the future. Now, that was 2002, 2003, I can't remember which, but in 2007, and I did not have any idea that he was as sick as he was, or that he was just months away from dying when I set up this interview. I set up an interview with him. It was sometime in the summer, June, July, or August, I can't remember, but of 2007. And he ended up dying in November of 2007. So normally you don't go to the person to interview them, but it was in Ohio. I hadn't been to Cincinnati for a while. I really wanted to meet Joe Nuxall. He was, again, after I'd met him when he was going to the John, Joe Nuxall was just, I love baseball, and he was a guy I wanted to go down and interview in person. So we set it up for a Sunday afternoon, and he was going to be at the clubhouse of the place he played golf. Now, I think even the clubhouse was named for him, if I remember right. But it was down in the Hamilton Fairfield area in Cincinnati. So that's a pretty long drive. So we're going down on Sunday. Now, in 2007, we did not have a GPS. This, I think, was before GPSs became a really big thing, and certainly before GPSs on your phone became a really big thing. So we're going down there, and we get in this area of Hamilton and Fairfield, where the person with me from the station, Sean, was with me, a matter of fact. We had no idea where we were, and we're trying to find this golf course, which is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. So we miss the time that we were supposed to be there to interview Joe. And we ended up being somewhere between a half hour and 45 minutes late. Now, his son Kim, who John had alluded to in the earlier interview, was there. And in any event, I'm calling Kim on the telephone, trying to get directions, and hoping that Joe does not get angry that we are missing this, and trying to keep him there. So we finally find the road, we finally find the place, we get down there, and we go inside, and Kim Nuxall, Joe's son, is coming out of the door, and he says, "Guys, I'm sorry. Dad waited around as long as he could. He was suffering from cancer." He told us that. He had lymphoma, and he had a treatment to go to, or medicine to take. It was something of that nature. He wasn't feeling the greatest. And we understood. We were 45 minutes late. It was our fault. So he said, "But let me give you the tour of the golf course." So he takes us inside the clubhouse, and he's kind of showing us things on the wall. There was a lot of Joe Nuxall stuff on the wall in there. And all of a sudden, the door swings open, and there's Joe Nuxall. And everybody was kind of stunned. We both turned around, Sean and I, because we didn't think he was there. And Kim Nuxall, his son, even looked kind of surprised. So I got the impression that this was not a joke that they were playing on us. And Kim looked surprised to see him back there. And all Joe said was, he said, "I was driving down the road, and I saw a car coming up the road, and I thought it might be you guys, and I didn't want you to drive all the way down here and not get the interview." And he sat down with active cancer, 4 months away from his death, and did an interview with me. 25 to 30 minute interview in the clubhouse, gave me as much time as I wanted, showed us the stuff on the wall, took a picture, which is here in the studio. There's a picture of Sean, myself, and Joe Nuxall in the clubhouse, and that's the type of guy he was. And that's one of those stories that I hope lives on forever. And that would not have happened if we hadn't gone down there. And unfortunately ended up being late, but it showed the man. You know, here were these two guys from Marion, Ohio, coming down to interview him. But he did not want to inconvenience anybody, even with active cancer. And you heard John talk about the pain medicine that he did not take, that they found after he died. He just was a really, he really was a down-to-earth guy, and we say that about a lot of people, but I remember him showing us his legs. He had shorts on, it was summer, and he was talking about the cancer after the interview was over. He had no airs about him. He was just a nice guy. Just a nice guy. And if I find that Joe Nuxall, I know I have it on tape somewhere. If I find that interview sometime, I'll play it for you. But I also love this book, Joe Nuxall, The Old Left-Hander and Me, My Conversations with Joe Nuxall About the Reds, Baseball, and Broadcasting by John Kieswetter. So, in that, that's my Joe Nuxall story. Does anybody have anything to say about Joe Nuxall or the book or the interview? Were you surprised about anything? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. He really was just the absolute best. And I know so many people in this area spent many, many years listening to Marty and Joe over the airwaves on the radio. WLW. And you know, that also says something to radio, says something for radio. You know, Joe and Marty were not on television every game. They were radio broadcasters, but they became far more popular than any television broadcaster that was doing the Reds game. And I think that really had to do with the fact that they were a good team. They meshed well together. They were fun to listen to. You could tell that they were having a good time calling the game. And pretty much speaks to what radio can do, especially with baseball, which I've always thought radio is baseball's game. Football is television's game, because it's hard to listen to a football game on the radio. I mean, it can be done, and several people do it very well, but it's running into each other, it's flags on the play, it's touchdowns, it's spiking the ball, it's all those things, and that's very hard to convey on radio, especially yardage. Baseball is made for radio. It's balls, it's strikes, it's home runs, it's foul balls, it's bases stolen. It's describing what the pitcher's doing, and it's a slow enough moving game that you really can convey a lot of things during the radio broadcast of a baseball game. And also, you can be driving around on a Saturday afternoon doing chores in your car and have a baseball game on, and when you get out at the grocery store to go in and get your groceries and you get back in the car, you didn't miss anything. Because they tell you exactly what has happened in the baseball game. That would be very hard to do with football. It's much more difficult with football. Let's put it that way. So, Joe Nuxall, what a guy, what a legend. And if anybody has any stories about him, 740-383-9944. Now I want to get into my weekend. Or at least, really, the last 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, Friday, we were not on the air live Friday night, Angie and I, because Sean and Angie and I went to the concert over at the Palace Theater with Colin Ray and Aaron Tippin and Sammy Kershaw. I think it was called Roots and Boots. Let me tell you, it was, I'm not sure if they sold out, but they came pretty close. The Palace seats 1,400 people. There had to be well over 1,000 people there. And it was so interesting because these three guys came out on stage and basically just sat there with not much of a band. It was not a huge band backing them up. They just came out on stage and they performed, and these people in the audience were with them on every number. I can't tell you how many times that night one of them, Sammy or Aaron or Colin Ray, were singing a song and they would just turn the mic on the audience and you could hear clear as a bell what the lyrics to the song was. The crowd was with them all night long. It was a great show, just very enjoyable. Did anybody else go Friday night? 740-383-9944. And I thought the Palace did a great job of getting people in and getting people set. And I saw our good friend John and his wife Carolyn, who were working that night as ushers, ticket takers. It was good to see them out there. Got some really good popcorn before the show. just a great, great Friday night. What a great concert to come to Marion. And I saw so many pictures on Facebook the next day of people who had attended this show, and I figured that would probably happen, because they probably came as close to selling out the Palace as anybody else ever has. I know they were still selling tickets at the door, but boy, that place was full. That's as full as I've seen the Palace in a long, long time. So if you have anything to report from Friday night, the big Roots and Boots tour, or Boots and Roots, however it was done, over at the Palace Theater, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Now, Saturday, went down to Westerville. I spent the whole weekend pretty much with Sean and Angie. Saturday, we went down to Westerville and just kind of did some shopping, looked around, you know, just had a day out. And we ended up at Fazoli's, which is my new favorite go-to. They have one in Westerville. They sell spaghetti, pizza, those sorts of things. Had a great time at Fazoli's. And, you know, I'm not even sure I should tell this story. Okay, I'm going to tell this story because I want to know. And this person down in Westerville will never hear about this. And it's not the person's fault. It's really all about me and my idiosyncrasies. But we were at Fazoli's, and the person who brought the food out to us, because what happens at Fazoli's is you order your food at the counter, and then you get a number, and you take that to the table, and you sit down, and then when your food is ready, somebody brings that over to your table. And the person who brought the order over to the table, very nice woman. How do you even say this? She had no nose. Now, and she had it covered up with a piece of tape. And I'm sure it was cancer or something horrible. I mean, you know, that's such a horrible thing to have happened to somebody. But I don't know. It just kind of set me... I just felt so unfortunate for that person, because you think of the things we go through in life, and then to have... you know, something like that happened that everybody can see. But to see her out there working is the point of this. To see her out there working in this time where we can't get enough people to work. How about that? How about that? Now, I will not lie to you. When you see that, because you don't expect that, it kind of... I don't want to say it shocks you. I don't think she knew that I was shocked. But, I mean, we all were aware at the table of what had happened, but just one of those things. Has anybody ever had an incident like that, where something like that happens? It's just, you don't expect it, is I think what happens, and that causes a moment of shock. But she was working hard, she kept the drinks refilled, she kept she kept everything moving. So I'm so glad to see that people are out there working, people are doing their job, and I'm sure that in life, that's probably a very difficult thing for her. But there she was working. So I was just highly impressed. You know, that happens a lot. When you see things like that, you maybe for a minute are taken aback by it, but it passes. I'm not even sure really where to go with that, but it was a very unique thing. 740-383-9944. Has anybody ever had an event like that in a restaurant or a department store where something happens like that, and you, unfortunately for some reason, you're just caught off guard by it, is what happens. But then you think, wow, it's great that she wants to be out here working. It's great that people with issues still want to be out working. I think it's just absolutely fantastic. And I commend her to the nth degree. But, you know, how many times have we been around people who maybe have had a finger amputated or an arm amputated or a leg amputated, and for some reason that's all we can talk about is when we're with that person. All we can talk about is hands or using your hands or using your legs. As human beings, we have very interesting idiosyncrasies like that. So if anybody has anything in that regard to say, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. But what just a nice person doing a great, great job. But that was the trip to Fazoli's. Now, here is where the true oddness of this night came in. On the way home, we stop at Dairy Queen. Now, anybody who knows me knows that my favorite dessert of all time is an Oreo Blizzard from Dairy Queen. So, we swing by Dairy Queen. I think it was the one on Route 23, closer to Columbus than Marion. So we stop at this Dairy Queen. Now, there is nobody in line. It's probably 8 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we're in the line, and I love my Oreo Blizzard, but that night I wanted to try something different. And I could not see the sign from where I was in the car. It was dark, and we were right up on the sign already, so I couldn't see the sign. So I said to the lady who was working the speaker at Dairy Queen, I said, "What kind of blizzards do you have?" And she said, "We have too many for me to tell you." Now, I don't know why that struck me funny, but maybe that... See, here's the thing. If you've got nobody in line, how many blizzards could there possibly be? It's a restaurant. I mean, I wouldn't think there could be more than 20. And I did not want her to run all 20 of them off. I just thought maybe she would give me a few because I couldn't see the sign, what exactly they had. But it was just so funny, and everybody in the car laughed so hard we almost could not order after that point, because it was such a stark answer in a public place. "We have too many. I can't tell you what the blizzards are we have." I should have just got a dilly bar, and I could have avoided that whole thing if I would have just went for the dilly bar. Has anybody noticed this lately, that customer service is getting a little rough? I don't know what this is. Customer service just seems to be getting a little different, maybe I should say, than it used to be. I don't ever remember an answer like that coming from Dairy Queen in past years. You would think you'd run off a few of the blizzards, and then you pick one, and you're on your way. Everybody's awful quiet out there this morning. Anybody have anything to say? 740-383-9944. Did everybody just have a nice, quiet weekend? That was my story from Dairy Queen on Saturday. Now, last night, went over to Lima. Now, this is an interesting story. Went over to Lima and found a nice diner to eat at, the Happy Days Diner. If you're ever in Lima, you might want to check out this Happy Days Diner. It's very nostalgic. They have a bunch of old signs in there, Route 66, and old Pepsi signs, and old Coke machines, and things up on the wall. Very nice place, Happy Days Restaurant in Lima. Now, the reason we were there was to see the Oak Ridge Boys concert, which we had Richard Sturban on last week. 7:30 last night, the Oak Ridge Boys concert in Lima, Ohio. So we go eat at Happy Days, and we're going over to the theater. And as we get over by the theater, I start to notice, and everybody in the car starts to notice, that there are no cars there. Very few cars there, I guess is what I should say. And the place looked very dark. And this was weird. So we park the car, We get out of the car. Now, it's raining at this point last night. We get out of the car. We walk up to the front doors. And on the front doors of the theater, it says, the Oak Ridge Boys show was at 3 o'clock. The, I guess the publicity was wrong in saying it was at 7:30. So the publicity did say that it was at 7:30. And a matter of fact, there was a woman at the door while we were standing there who was saying, hey, the tickets say 7:30. Did anybody get any information that this was happening at 3? And a couple with a lady in a wheelchair came up and they just had to turn around and leave. And other people were walking up to the door while we were there as well. And I even went to the webpage. Angie went to the webpage. The Oak Ridge Boys webpage. It said 7:30. I have never seen anything get screwed up like that, ever. And I'm not sure who was even to blame, to be honest. I don't know if the theater got it wrong. I don't know what happened. But that is something I have never seen. Now, here's what worries me. We gave away tickets to the Oak Ridge Boys on Friday. Now, I don't know if anybody went over to see them last night. If they did, I hope they went early or called the theater maybe to get directions and found out the show was at 3 o'clock. But that's what happened yesterday. No Oak Ridge Boys concert. And I kept thinking, when they did perform at 3 o'clock, was there a crowd? Did people know? Because it didn't... It seemed like there were still people coming up at 7:30. Very interesting. So, give me a buzz. Did anybody head over there yesterday? And if you did you get to go to the 3 o'clock show? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What a mess that was. And I'll tell you, as we drove into Lima last night, I did see the Oak Ridge Boys bus, but they must have been packing up from the 3 o'clock show as we were on our way to the diner. So, that was an interesting occasion. But it turned out to be fun, to be honest, because we did get to find this diner over there in Lima. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, getting out of the house at this point is something to do. A new adventure, new experience. So that happened in Lima. But I was expecting to hear this morning from, I think her name was Tammy, who won the tickets for the Oak Ridge Boys on Friday. So I hope they got there for the 3 o'clock show, but I don't know what happened. I still really don't know what happened. I don't know if it was the theater's fault. I don't know. Has anybody ever had anything like that happen? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Very different, let's say. Well, and also here we are, the week of our big candidates night, coming up on Thursday night at 7:10 p.m. here on the station. Candidates from city council and city treasurer will be here, and we still don't have a sign out front. Now, here's my understanding. At some point, I guess, somebody had called Adam and said they wanted, I'm not really sure what the conversation was, but said they knew something about putting up a sign. So I guess at this point we're ready to go with the sign, I guess is what I wanted to say on the air. So however that went, if that person is still interested in helping us get the sign up out here, we'll be glad to talk about that now. 740-383-9944. But I hope all the city council candidates do not drive by the studio Thursday night when we do the big live show here on the air, which you'll be able to ask questions at. Marion Starr will be here as well. You know, Daddy Wags drove by the studio on Friday morning. Mary Ellen, the first time she was here, drove by the studio. Governor Strickland could not find the studio. A lot of people can't, especially if you're not over in this neighborhood a lot, because there are some empty lots next to us, so it's kind of hard to get the, I guess, the sequence of addresses right, and also the fact that we're on a one-way street. If you miss the house, you've got to go around the block and come back. So I think that's difficult as well. So what we really need is a sign that just sticks in the yard. The Marion ceramic sign is really what we need, a sign like that. I was driving down here Thursday night, and the sign down at Marion Ceramics is great. It's a nice, big, plain sign that's just in their front yard. It just says Marion Ceramics. You can see it driving down the road. That's the type of sign we need. Just something that says WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. That's it. Nothing else on the sign. Just so people know where we are. And maybe with the address. 523 South Prospect. So, maybe we'll get that done. Now, with the sign. Okay, now this is not a pleasant story. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is a pleasant story. Hard to tell. I was driving, I think, home from here on Thursday. Thursday or Friday. Might have been Friday. I was driving home from here on Friday, and I was going down the boulevard, and I hope somebody has some information on this, because I still really, I'd never seen anything like this. I'm driving down the boulevard toward the east end of town, and I notice that all of the cars in my lane are kind of pulled over to the side. And I didn't see any ambulances or fire engines. I didn't hear anything. So I thought, well, I wonder why everybody is pulled over on the boulevard. Then I looked in the opposite direction, going west, and it was a funeral procession. So I pulled over. Wait, we're going to take the call here and come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, this might not be a permanent solution, but temporarily, if you don't get a sign, get all the candidate signs that you can get and just put them in the front yard. And that's going to be a giveaway. Here it is.
Yeah, put all the candidate signs out there?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I know. At one point, and it must have been about 2 months ago, somebody called and must have heard me on the radio talking about it and said they were interested in helping with the sign. Now, they called Adam. Now, at that time, I don't know what was going on, but nothing went any further. Now, I mean, at this point, if they don't want to help, that's fine. But I talked to Adam last Thursday, and I said, you know, Adam, we really got to get a sign. We're heading into winter here. We're having candidates night here. People are, I think it's hard for people to find. And he said, well, you know, this guy had called and offered to help with the sign. And so hopefully we hear from that person again.
Hopefully, or you could take one of his candidate signs and put something over it that says, you know, candidate's night here, or 523, or...
Well, I don't even know who makes sign. My problem is, who would make a sign like that? Have you seen the Marion Ceramics sign?
No, I haven't noticed it. But if you went to the Democrat headquarters and Republican, you know, they'll have signs.
Just go up and hijack one of their signs and...
Well, ask them for a sign. They'll have them.
Put a sign out that says candidates night here?
Or you could get Angie and drive her someplace and have her jump out of the car and grab some signs.
Just grab a sign out of somebody's yard?
Yeah.
Why not?
She's a trooper.
Yeah, why not? She'll play along. What do you make of the customer service issues that I was talking about earlier?
I didn't hear it. I was still asleep.
Oh. Well, I was just talking about how when I went to Dairy Queen on 3637 on Saturday, when I asked them what kind of blizzards they had, the lady in the on the speaker said, I can't possibly tell you, we have too many.
Well, she could at least rattle some off, didn't she?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought she didn't have to go through the whole litany of the list if she didn't want to, but that was just an odd occasion, to be honest with you.
And how did she say it? Did she say it? Sometimes, well, if you say it, kind of nasty, too.
Well, it came off more funny than anything else, to be honest, because we just started laughing in the car and really couldn't order. We were laughing so hard because it just, you don't expect to hear that.
Yeah, I wonder how late Dairy Queen's going to be open. I've done them about a half dozen times. I love the chocolate malts.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the time frame is. Well, it's past November because I know they're open the night before Thanksgiving, because that's one of our traditions here is when we put the Christmas decorations up the night before Thanksgiving, we always stop and get a blizzard.
But their ice cream is just so much better than all these other ice cream places.
See, I think their ice cream's better too, but then I know some people who just don't like their ice cream at all.
Well, you don't quite get as much there as if you go to some of these other places, but I just think their ice cream's richer and better.
I'm with you. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay, that's just a suggestion, maybe.
Well, we need them. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Fell asleep during the show this morning. Well, I tell you, it's one of those times of year, to be honest with you. It's kind of bleak and rainy and overcast. It certainly is autumn in Ohio. Oh, okay, so I'm driving down the boulevard. I want to get this in. I'm driving down the boulevard, and I see that it's a funeral procession coming up the west end of the boulevard. So I pull over, and I glance over, and I had never seen this before. Maybe other people have. But it was a white hearse, and in the back, it was all windows, and you could see the coffin in the back with the flowers on it. And I don't know if that was a funeral home around here. I have never seen that before in my life. I don't know who it was. It was a long funeral procession. I'll tell you that. It was a very long funeral procession. But I was kind of just surprised because most hearses, you can't see the coffin because they have drapes in them or something like that, or it's very dark in the back and the hearse is black. This was a white hearse, windows in the back. You could see the casket as plain as day. It still had flowers on top of it as it was going down the boulevard. And, again, it was just one of those things that catches you off guard. And you say, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. Does anybody know who that was or possibly attended that funeral? Or do you know, is that a funeral home in Marion? Is that a common thing that you can have done now? Have a white hearse where you're kind of carried around, where people can see the coffin in the back of the hearse. I don't know. Let's take the phone call here on WWGH Radio. Go ahead, caller.
Edwards Funeral Home.
Which one?
Edwards.
Yeah. Edwards Funeral Home has that.
Yeah, if you had a paper, they will get a picture of it.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, it's Edwards.
Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's an advertisement in the paper. It's a beautiful, it's beautiful. It says back in the day. They went back to the old days when they had them open.
Yeah, it seems like an old-fashioned type of thing.
Right, yeah, that's Edwards.
So Edwards Funeral Home. Well, hey, thanks for calling. All right, well, there you go. I guess it was Edwards Funeral Home. But I had not seen that. I don't know if I just have not been on the roads when funeral processions are going on. I don't know if this is a fairly new thing that people are doing. I don't know. Do people like the idea of that? Is that something that will be popular? You know, cremation has become so popular. I don't know if this thing will become popular or not. I don't even really know how long it's been around. But it is different. I guess that is probably kind of an old-fashioned hearse, where you can see the coffin in the back with the flowers on it. as they take it, they were probably going to the cemetery, because they were going down the boulevard going west. But it was different. Big, long funeral procession. So I hope they went to their reward okay. 740-383-9944. Anybody have anything to say this morning? Signs? Etiquette at restaurants? The big country concert on Friday? Up at the palace? The hearse that's driving down the road here in Marion? Boy, we've been all over the place this hour, haven't we? Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lipp. After this show today, 10 a.m. until 12 noon, Voice of a People with Linda Sims today, 4:10 p.m. till 5 p.m. Now, here's another thing. When I was over in Westerville on Saturday, I bought a barometer. Well, it's a temperature barometer. And I have it sitting in front of me right now because I wanted it here for the studio. Because when I started in radio, we always used to give barometer readings. We would give the temperature and the barometer every hour. You did that without fail. Temperature and barometer. Now, we still give the time here. And you used to give the time. The time, the temperature, the barometer. Now, the temperature is correct. The only problem is the temperature is what the temperature is in the studio. So it would not make much sense for me to tell you what the temperature was in the studio, because that has nothing to do with what the temperature is outside. Right now, though, for all of you interested, it is 65 degrees in the studio. 65 degrees. Now, the barometer. I'm looking at this barometer, and right now, it's a circular barometer, and it's in between 29 and 30. Now, the way this thing is divided up, it has 27 at the bottom, 28 going to your left, 29 going up around, 30 and 31. Now, between 28 and 29, it says rain. Between 29 and 30, it says change. Between 30 and 31, it says fair. And then between 28 and 31, it doesn't say anything. So, I have this barometer now, and I can tell you right now that the barometer is reading 29.5. 29.5 is where the barometer is right now. But what does that mean? Because it's in the middle of the change section. Between 29 and 30, it says change. So it's 29.5. So does that mean the weather is going to change tomorrow? Because I thought a barometer reading had something to do with the weather conditions that are coming, not the weather conditions that are or have been. Does anybody know how to read a barometer? Now, the interesting thing with this barometer is it has a second hand that I can turn. So I can put the second hand where the barometer is today, and then I guess tomorrow morning I can check and see if the barometer has changed. So if you listen tomorrow, we'll find out if the barometer has changed. But on Monday, October 25th, at 9:56 a.m., the barometer was reading 29.5, which, does that mean the weather's going to change from rain to something else? Does it mean the temperature's going to get cooler or warmer? What exactly is the barometer in representation of? I know if the barometer falls quickly, I think that's a sign of snow and precipitation. And this barometer would say that because 28 and 29 is rain. 29 and 30 is change, and 30 and 31 is fair. So does anybody have a barometer at home that they read or know anything about? Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. because I have zero idea when it comes to this barometer, to be honest with you. But I can tell you that the barometer is at 29.5 at this particular point. So that's the way it goes. Which means there'll be a change in the temperature, in the weather. We really don't know. All right. Phone lines are open. If there's anything on your mind this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And again, I want to thank John Keyswetter, whatever it is, for coming on this morning and sharing his memories of Joe Nuxall. Great new book, Joe Nuxall, The Old Left-Hander and Me. My conversations with Joe Nuxall about the Reds, baseball, and broadcasting. And John, I believe, was with the Examiner, he'd said, for many years. I think he's with an NPR station now. But it's a great long book here. How many pages? Well, almost 300 pages. And the great thing about this book is in the back, it has Joe's major and minor league pitching statistics, because he was a pitcher. And it just chronicles a really great man, to be honest. And the stories in here are great because they're firsthand. Because this gentleman, John, had interviewed Joe many times over the years. Joe Nuxall, a legendary Ohio person. Candidates Night coming up Thursday, 7:10 p.m. until 9 p.m. Now, don't forget, you can ask questions. Now, you can't start asking questions until 7 o'clock, but starting at 7 o'clock on Thursday night, October the 28th, you can call the station number here, 740-383-9944, and ask your question, and it'll be put on an index card and given to me, and I will ask that of the candidate you would like me to ask that of. So that's going on this coming Thursday. And again, I do want to thank Daddy Wags for coming in on Friday morning. Heard a lot of response about that over the weekend, and I thank everybody who listened to that program on Friday morning. 3 hours of Daddy Wags. And I hope our winners did get to the Oak Ridge Boys this past weekend. Well, yesterday, Sunday. Great, busy weekend. All right, final 10 seconds of the show. Remember, the barometer is 29.5 today, whatever that means to you. And I'll be back tomorrow with much more. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
Then got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Marilyn used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
I need a mic.
There you go.